In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most Almighty God in His mercy has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll sing this one together. Would you play one time through for us? Play it one time through. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. At the set time I appoint, for not from the east or from the west, but I will declare it forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, it is God who executes judgment. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth.
Lord God,
Lord be with you. Pray. O Lord of grace and mercy, teach us by your Holy Spirit to follow the example of your Son in true humility, that we may withstand the temptations of the devil and with pure hearts and minds avoid ungodly pride. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. May be seated. The first lesson is from the book of Proverbs 25. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. As the heaven for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of the king is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it's better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself and do not reveal another's secrets, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you and your ill repute have no end. This is the word of the Lord. Fear of the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. From the letter of Hebrews, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, "I will never leave you or nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sins are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for only such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your soul as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at a house of the ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that is falling into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable of those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. But he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And he also said to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you. You may be seated. 706, the hymn. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text before us is the gospel reading, which I read a few minutes ago, and that will be what we will concentrate on. You might want to look at the gospel because I'll be sharing some things and some thoughts with you today. If you look at the passage, you will see that everyone is watching Jesus. They see him at the feast or the gathering and the dinner, and they see him, and they're watching him to see what he would do. But even though they're watching him, they could not see the heart of our Lord Jesus at all. They were listening, but their ears were deaf. It is the Sabbath. It is a meal that had to be prepared the day before, but it was now eaten together. Now the teacher had been invited, the ruler of the Pharisee of the house, for that traditional Sabbath meal in order to watch him. The text tells us they were watching him closely. By the way, Jesus was not invited because he was a friend, but they invited him that they might size him up and maybe trap him into something. So they were watching him closely when all of a sudden there is a man there in their presence who had dropsy. Dropsy is a kind of edema that fills your blood, your legs and everything with fluids and arms and things like that, and have to be, today we compress things and get that edema out of there. But he had dropsy, and there was no cure for it in that day. The medicines that we have today cure a lot of the diseases that people had back then. But our Lord Jesus Christ is able to speak to him, the one who had that edema. But it's interesting to note, why was that man there? Who invited him? How did he get in there to that meal? Well, actually, in the tradition of the Pharisees at that time, when they had a meal, they always left the door open. The door is open. In theory, you get to come in if you want to. If you need something to eat, you come on in. The door is open. But in reality, they didn't want you to come in that door. And now, come on, y'all do the same thing. You say to your neighbor, y'all come over for dinner, but you hope they won't show up. You know how that is. So the gospel calls out our host as being a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees were leaders of God's people, and they were actually the laymen of the congregations of the day. And you could almost call him a Calvinist, if you know anything about Calvinism, because either way, they believed that heaven's door wasn't necessarily open to everyone. But it was only open to the elect, the ones who God had called and those who had been invited. There's a deceitfulness that goes on and a hypocrisy in such people, and now it's made plain in this text today. For this is not the way of the Lord Jesus. Now they were silent. They were dumbfounded. Jesus says to them while they're watching him closely, he said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Well, if you're a Pharisee, can you heal on Tuesday? If you're a scribe, can you heal on Wednesday? They couldn't heal at all. But he asked the question so that they might be able to examine themselves, could they? What does he say? Those assembled professors of the law were all gathered together, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all those people, and they were being trapped in their own hypocrisy, and they didn't recognize it. Now, there was bantering going on also back and forth as to who would sit where when they come to the banquet. And walks this man of a low estate. He's unclean because he's got this edema. He was probably a person in need of things like food and other things, but he needed respect and love for the community. So what will Jesus do? You see, they were watching him closely, watching this so-called Messiah and see what his actions are. Would he heal on the Sabbath? Could he refrain from compassion and maybe show up later in the week and heal the man? The one who can dress, would he dare transgress the Sabbath day? But Jesus recalls the words he had said earlier, and that is that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Was John Calvin right? The Calvinists, and I guess Methodists and some of the other denominations, who think that God's grace is only given to a few people? Or is it such that Jesus offers and conveys the forgiveness of sins and the promise of salvation to everyone? Can we trust the Word of God? Is Jesus really for all? Is he for all those people that were gathered there? Is he here for infants? Is Jesus here for me? Let's watch closely. What does he do? Heed the word, hear the heart, behold with eyes of faith, and trust God's salvation. What would he do? They were silent. Seizing the minute, is it lawful to heal? Now, the great members of society in that day were, of course, teachers of the law, and they had it all figured out. They knew what it was. But they understood that the commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all the mind, with all your soul. They knew the first table. But they didn't understand the second part, and that is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Maybe we need to look at that too in our own personal lives and re-examine that maybe we aren't doing so good in loving others as we love ourselves. Oh, I do love myself though. I bet you love yourself too as well. Then the world urges us to tolerate everyone. Just tolerate them. You don't want to be anything like them. Don't want them around. But that's not the way of our God. So watch him closely. What does he do? How does he love? Whom does he receive? Is there anyone ever left out? Is anyone turned away? The example of humility includes all races, all people, all languages. Even sadly, the folks that are coming across our southern border right now. I don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. But certainly they need to be cared for. The church needs to care for them, however they got here. But watch Jesus closely. What will Jesus do? Will he heal the man on the Sabbath? Yes. And they're dumbfounded by their own hypocrisy, and they have to remain silent. Sometimes we have our own hearts shackled with pride. We have prejudice. You do, and I do. We prejudice. We have things that we think we're better than other people. That's just, don't we? Of course we do. We Lutherans especially think we're better than the Baptists. Only problem when we lived in Houston, we had to get out of church early so we could beat the Baptists to the restaurant. Because they'd pack the place up and you wouldn't get anything to eat. So the Word of God is preached to you and me today, and we have to watch Jesus closely. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the one who manages the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom. This lesson, however, is not just about social graces. You know, Jesus said, when you invite somebody to a dinner with you, when you invite them, people think that they need to start finding the best seats of the house. Of course, you sit up front, you get the better food, you get quicker to the buffet table, that kind of thing. You know how that is. But what he's saying is that when you come into a gathering like that, humble yourself. Take a lower seat so that someone may invite you forward. Jesus gets it all right, doesn't he? This is all a matter of the heart. And Jesus has the heart that cares for people. Today, you're invited to a feast. And it's great that we get to come and have a feast before the Lord our God. And he sets these delicacies and morsels for us to enjoy. But at the same time, while we enjoy them and taste and see that the Lord is good, we also realize that he's giving us his body and his blood, which has been shed for us. and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus invites us not to just be at the lower table, but to come on up. Come close. Receive him where he is. Come as close as you can in order to take of the Lord's Supper today. In our gospel lesson, of course, Jesus is ready to trap the Pharisees in their own hypocrisy. But strangely enough, Jesus invites you and me to trap him also, but in a different way. We get to hold Jesus to his word. Lord, you promised this. You promised you'll care for us. You promised you'd take care of me even to the end. And when my end does come, you promise that you'll bring me into the heavenly kingdom. Hold him to his promise. He promises to forgive our sins. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. And so our Lord Jesus Christ invites you to hold him to his promises. Trap him there. But Lord, you said this. Lord, you said that. And within the walls of the church, there are people like you and me who come before the Lord. We don't have a lot to offer him. And we stand there ready, of course, to be served by him so that today you get the gospel message read, proclaimed, sang, and we'll taste it in a few minutes. The love of Christ is outpoured for us. There will be rejoicing in the house of the Lord. Are you poor or are you sick? You're sick, having some problems getting around. I know that. You told me this morning. Rejoice, for the Lord Jesus is for you. Other people here with disabilities, frustrations, despairing, suffering, the Lord Jesus is here for you. Are there people here that might be struggling with things that are really driving you crazy? Are you laboring under some stress, don't know exactly how you're going to make it out of it? Rejoice, for the Lord Jesus is here for you. He wants you to watch him. He wants you to love him. But he wants you, above all, to give thanks and sing. Rejoice, give thanks, and sing, for Jesus is for you. So today we come before our Lord again as he offers us the table where we receive his forgiveness that's offered to us. The wonderful thing about the forgiveness of sins is this. When the pastor says to you, I forgive you all your sins. You've just confessed your sins, and the pastor says, I forgive you all your sins. What are you to believe? You believe exactly what God told you. Your sins are forgiven. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And then the second thing is, when you come to the Lord's table, you get to taste again his forgiveness of sins. It's a little different. Here the words are spoken. By the time we get to the altar, not only are they spoken, but they're given to you and me so that we might taste and see. May taste our Lord. Feel him. Notice him. Enjoy him. Jesus is here with the forgiveness of sins. And you have now the power to love others as you love yourself, to take care of your fellow man as you take care of yourself. You can open the door to your heart and let your love out. And also, instead of just tolerating other people, we have to love them, have compassion on them. Now, this week I saw the buses were in New York. By the way, I like that. I hope we can charter some more buses going to New York. You know what I'm talking about. Well, what's happening is from the border, our governor is busing many of the people that are down there into other places, like Washington, D.C. and New York City. And these places have said that they're open. They want to receive those folks as their guests. And we need the help. We can't take care of all those people ourselves. So we share them. But now, as I was watching them get out of the bus, I noticed that there are people that look just like we do. They're dressed well. There are family groups there. There are little children there. There are adults there. There are young people there. They need the compassion that our Lord Jesus Christ has shown to us. Above all, we need a way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those people so that they too may join us in the heavenly feast when that time comes. I pray this will be a blessing to you today, and some of the thoughts I've shared with you might be something that you'll take home with you today. Watch Jesus closely. Look at what he does. Watch what he does. Watch what he says. Because what he says is given and shed for you. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Would you rise and speak with me the words of the Nicene Creed as we speak it together? I believe. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For faith to treasure our place of honor at the table of the Lord, which he has won for us through his humble service and sacrifice, and for boldness to spurn the foolish honors of this world, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Christ to accomplish his holy and saving work through his pastors, as he promises to do, and for the church to honor their Lord by honoring those he sent to them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all husbands and wives, for all those who have pledged themselves to be united in holy matrimony, according to your word, that their lives together in your name may be sanctified by your Holy Spirit in all wisdom and purity, self-sacrifice and love, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy for the elected officials of our land, that they would desire to govern as those serving with wisdom and courage, knowing what is right and following it. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy for the sick and suffering, those troubled in mind, those suffering depression, and those with chronic illness and pain, those that we've named in our prayer lists before. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those who share the wedding feast of Christ, your Son, that as they receive his body and blood from your altar, they would eat and drink in true repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessings. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the full grace, riches of your grace, for all situations and circumstances in which your people dwell, that we should practice brotherly love, show hospitality to strangers, and remember all those in need, confident that you will never leave us or forsake us. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Remembering that here we have no abiding city, but that heaven is our home, give us your aid that we may have true faith and a godly life prepared for the coming of our Savior, multiplying your mercy by loving our neighbor in need and loving you with all of our body, soul, strength, and will, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We worship the Lord with our offerings. Hymn 636. You may be seated. we rise? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and to be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of this, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us to this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us in the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Our last hymn is 813. You may be seated.